Number 10's repeated denials, changing stories and drift resulting from the scandal around unlawful lockdown parties have led to many of my constituents questioning the Prime Minister's honesty, integrity and fitness for office. These views now appear to be widespread across the country. He added, Conservatives still have so much to offer to our country, so it's vital for Conservative MPs to consider all the options necessary to get our party back on track. Number 10 Downing Street is planning a fight back this week with a series of policy announcements to show it is trying to turn the page under Partygate scandal. Even though 12 gatherings are still under police investigation and a final Sue Gray report is yet to be published. Boris Johnson has also implemented several staff changes, bringing in Guta Hari, a former aide and a former BBC journalist, and his new communications director, and making Cabinet Office Minister Steve Barclay his chief of staff. Henry Newman, a deputy chief of staff and ally of Kerry Johnson, is expected to return to a role with his former boss Michael Gove. Guta Hari told The Guardian he was proud to join a team of capable, grown-up, professional and pragmatic people that will hopefully allow the Prime Minister and his cabinet to operate effectively and deliver what they promised to the people. He added that there were big post-pandemic challenges that they would really need to get on with. Guta Hari's appointment was for the main part welcomed by Tory MPs despite his having backed Remain in the European Union referendum, with two senior Brexit-supporting MPs saying it was very positive and a return at long last to sensible appointments. One said it would hopefully provide more stability after the era of Dominic Cummings and the subsequent era of aides close to the Prime Minister's wife. However, there was more scepticism among some Tory MPs about Steve Barclay's role. One MP said he was seen with suspicion by some who believed he's an ally of Rishi Sunak. The Chancellor has given Johnson only lukewarm support over the parties and distanced himself from Number 10 over the Prime Minister's false Jimmy Savile slur towards Labour leader Keir Starmer. Experts have also questioned whether Steve Barclay is taken on too wide a brief, with his Cabinet Office ministerial role in addition to his Chief of Staff job and responsibilities as an MP. A spokesman said many of his ministerial responsibilities would be redistributed to other ministers within the Cabinet Office. With Boris Johnson's future still hanging by a thread, major Conservative donor Alexander Tomurko, who has given more than £600,000 to the Conservative Party, said he was urging other donors and his friends in Parliament to continue supporting Boris Johnson. The Ukrainian-born businessman who co-owns an energy firm called Aquind last month threatened legal action against the government for turning down its plans to build a controversial £1.2 billion electricity and internet cable running from the UK to France. Alexander Tomurko said, Our party leader, Boris Johnson, is today the best candidate to be Prime Minister. He now has nothing to lose and so must be bold and thus make urgent decisions to stabilise the situation in the energy market and the general economy, I believe. I can only recommend him to consider a serious reshuffle and to purge from the cabinet those who try to trigger internal party contests rather than focusing on their ministerial duties. Penny Mordaunt, the Conservative MP for Portsmouth North and a former Defence Secretary, had led calls opposing the project, saying it was not helpful to the UK's energy security. The majority owner of the energy firm Aquind was revealed in 2020 to be Viktor Fedotov, a Russian-born billionaire.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadiri and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, most of the answers are based upon the Holy Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, supplemented with the scientific data. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker, an Islamic researcher, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qom. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear listeners, we'll be talking about the sixth mistake out of 25 mistakes that we'll be going through some parents make when they are raising their children, and that is insulting and humiliating their children. Today we'll be looking at why some parents do this and how to prevent this from happening. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajhum. A lot of parents, sadly, when they get angry with their kids and they get agitated and what have you, for whatever reason, most parents, sadly, and I say sadly, most parents end up using bad names or calling their kids names and insulting them.
Yeah.
So name calling. So sometimes, you know, they call their kids by animal names or they swear at them.
Many people do this when they're angry at anything and everyone, actually.
Yeah, so we do that when, for example, we have road rage. And
very common. Very common.
And things like that. Obviously, Islamically speaking, this is not appropriate.
It's not permissible.
Obviously, it's haram for people to swear at other people. But when this happens to a child, obviously, it's going to leave huge amounts of negativity in the mind of the child.
Right.
And then you see parents, they constantly saying, oh, my kid is making me tired, my kid doesn't understand,
right,
my kid moves a lot and this and that, and constantly complaining.
Yeah.
I remember one of the brothers, he said to me, his child, he moves so much that he had to take him to the doctor. He thought there was something wrong with him.
Wait, what does he mean by moving?
Like,
too much?
He's constantly, you know, he has this
is he active?
Energy, very active. You know, he moves around.
Isn't that normal in a child?
He said, my child is overactive. There has to be something wrong with him. So he took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, no, it's actually quite normal for a child his age to be that active.
Yeah.
So sometimes we mistake their activity for something else.
Right.
And as a result, we start to name call them and insult them,
yeah,
because we're trying to we're trying to achieve something that they're not letting us do it.
Right.
So most parents, for example, those who complain about their kids being slow and their kids not understanding or their kids being overactive and doing things, and therefore, in the process, they start to insult them and call them like stupid. They call them idiots. They call them all different names.
Very expressive terms,
right?
They have.
So,
right.
For whatever reasons, the idea is that parents need to understand the reason why kids do what they do, either
right.
be it in overactivity or less activity. You know, when they're not doing very well during their studies, whatever the case might be, they're going through. They have to understand that it is, you know, a child's ability to do things. And that's
right.
how, that, I mean, if I trying to teach my child and he's very slow, and me trying to call him, you're stupid, you're dumb.
How is that going to help?
It's not
going to
help. The kid himself is obviously suffering from a problem.
Right.
That needs help. It
yeah.
doesn't need name calling. You know, calling him a stupid or idiot is not going to make him do the work faster or make him understand.
It's also just to mention a very obvious point, but something that is neglected, it is so hurtful to be called such names. Like, I remember in my classroom, if my classmate said something to me, the teacher, even just a very lightly but snideful remark, how my self-esteem would plummet to the earth.
That's right. This is like, even us as adults these days, we have the same problem.
Yeah.
We don't like to be called and insulted. If anyone insults us and calls us names, we get upset.
With that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the mistakes some parents make when raising their children, and that is humiliating them and insulting them. We will discuss the reasons and how to fix this. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
When we look at kids, sometimes we mistake them for something else. For example, if a parent or a mother or a father, they're having a hard time trying to get their kids to do work, for example. The first conclusion we jump to is the fact that my kid doesn't understand and he's just being difficult.
Right.
Or he just doesn't want to learn. Or he's just trying to do this and that. The idea is that maybe the child himself, you just have to be a bit patient with him. You just need a bit of patience.
And that's the
not
secret.
Anger.
Right. Yeah.
So getting angry and not being patient is what makes the situation a lot worse. So, yeah, maybe the child is a bit slow. Maybe his concentration is less. Maybe his attention span is...
People are born different.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, so whatever the reason might be that causing him to be slow, you just have to be mindful of it, be patient, it takes some time, and make sure that, you work with the child rather than just make him worse.
Making him an adversary, an opponent in this match of teaching and learning, and because he doesn't understand, he's your enemy suddenly, and that is wrong.
Exactly, and what we need to do as well, we need to make sure that we give our child enough self-esteem and self-respect.
Right.
When we are constantly insulting them, when we are constantly humiliating them, we are constantly calling them names, obviously we are not helping them at all. We're just making
right.
them feel bad about themselves. A child who gets called animal names much often, he would always try to think, or starts to think of himself as a better animal.
As less than a human being.
Yeah. So we don't want to do that to our children, that our things that will stay in their minds, and based on that they will act like an animal, because this is how much
right.
he's being called an animal.
Right.
So we shouldn't, as parents, we just need to be a little bit more patient and work a better way, not by insulting and yelling and screaming and so on.
Right, and with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Love children, be kind to them, and whenever you promise something to them, fulfill it."
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing why you should not insult or humiliate your child and how to deal with such a situation. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
So we're saying to the parents, when your kids are not doing what you want them to do or they're supposed to do, do not give them the description of animals or call them animal names,
right,
or swear at them. So you need to format that swearing dictionary that you have when it comes to your child, because sometimes
just,
you know,
delete it.
Yeah, just delete it, because sometimes we call them, you know, so all sorts of names that really, that even psychologically, if you keep calling a child, like for example, a certain animal name,
right? A donkey is very normal in our culture.
Yeah, so if you call him a donkey for such a long time, after years he will start to, you know, to talk like a donkey too.
Interesting. You know. Yeah. To become a donkey then?
Yeah, because you have convinced him that he's an actual donkey. So he starts to, I don't know.
At least he will feel less like a person.
Exactly.
At least. Let's rather say that, perhaps. So you'll
exactly.
Feel
same thing, like.
Less self value.
I think we spoke about this as well. Same thing when you use it in a good way, when you
a
call
positive
someone.
Name.
Yeah, positive. Yeah. You call them, like, for example, generous all the
right.
time.
He starts
or
to embody
brave,
that
brave,
personal.
Brave.
Right.
He starts to believe it and he acts upon it. So,
right.
in the same way it works in the bad way, it will also work in the good way. So,
right.
as parents, we need to make sure that our kids grow naturally and healthy, and they have
they
are self confident. They believe in themselves,
right.
And they can deal with life in a better manner. And sometimes these kids, what we teach them when we call them names and when we insult them, these insults, they become the basis for them to use on other people as well.
Of course, that's also a completely other aspect of
yeah.
this. They start to learn how to insult and how to really get in where it hurts. And then they unfortunately deploy that on other people. Or even I've seen cases where the child who is not capable of perhaps because they are too good of a person to use other people as an outlet for their anger and frustration, they take it out on themselves through self-harm, self-injury, and so on. Drugs, alcohol, smoking.
True. So this happens, obviously, the more the child feels insulted, the lower he feels, then everything else will have no value to him, and then he commits it, like you said. So, and also, like I said, we give him an arsenal of swearing, words and insults that he can use with other people, which, if not 100% of the time they do, is 99% of the time that they do.
Right.
And the solution to this problem that we have as parents who swear a lot, we just have to go back to the Quran and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. For example, Allah says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا in chapter Al-Baqarah 83, say the good word to people. Don't tell them bad things.
Right.
Don't go running around cursing people. Or example, in Surah Qaf 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَلْفُظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever word you say, it is recorded. When
right.
I call myself names, and I call them donkeys and dogs and pigs and what have you,
right.
there's someone that writing these words down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day, He will bring that folder up.
Right.
And he will bring these names forward and he says, okay, this is what you call the child. It doesn't get deleted. Everything gets stored in Allah's book.
We tend to forget that.
Right? So a person who wants to do these kind of things, they have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold them accountable. So once you channel your mind to that direction, that should help you stop doing it.
Inshallah, may Allah help us remember these words. Dear Sayyid, I must end today's program because we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for your time and for your valuable information and knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If your dear listeners have any questions or comments or suggestions, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir, or you can visit our website parastoday.com. Alternatively, you can also find us on the various social media websites, such as on Instagram and Twitter, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for joining us.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and how about reflecting on a wise aphorism from Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, the 10th successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not expect honesty and purity of intention from someone who has suffered from your malice. Do not expect loyalty from one to whom you have been disloyal. Do not expect goodwill from someone whom you regard with ill will, as his heart towards you is the same as your heart towards him. We congratulate all our listeners worldwide on the 43rd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A German man has claimed a new Guinness World Record in hula hooping. Kia Sandmeier set a new record for the longest duration of hula hooping in a plank position. He was able to carry the activity in this difficult pose for over 6 minutes. The 30-year-old says he practiced the plank rigorously in the morning and evenings before and after work. Sandmeier says holding the plank was the most difficult part. The previous record for this activity was set last year by an American with just over 3 minutes. Every year, the Copenhagen Light Festival transformed the winter cold and darkness of the capital city into a celebration of light art in Denmark. In February, the entire city becomes the stage displaying captivating lighting installations presented by Danish and international artists. The works are planted at more than 30 historical sites, canals, and squares, among other urban spaces. Building facades are also decorated with special lighting designs. The organizers and curators of the festival say the event is important because it gives people a chance to rediscover their own city. Also, the event brings life to a dark season that's normally very quiet by offering joyful experiences for locals and tourists alike.
As the 2022 Winter Olympics have begun in the Chinese capital, Beijing, two playful giant pandas at the Moscow Zoo have come to the spotlight for predicting the outcome of the sports event. On the eve of the Winter Olympics opening, Ru Yi and Ding Ding were each offered five traffic cones labeled with national flags of the participating countries, represented by the largest numbers of athletes. The cones that got taken down by them were considered as the winners. The pandas then chose the cones with Chinese and German flags on them. Zoo officials say no treats were placed inside the cones to ensure that the prediction is unbiased. The zoo says it plans to continue the panda prediction for all individual and team competitions at the games. Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering on the environment. Now, a Mexican kayaker has decided to launch his own campaign to save the environment. 66-year-old Omar Menchaca usually paddles his single-seater kayak through the floating gardens of the Xochimilco canals near the Mexico City, collecting garbage left by visitors. Menchaca says he normally does the cleanup in the early morning before tourists arrive to the site, using bare hands to pick up debris. The former athlete who did his training for the competitions in the canals says over time he found that the waterways were littered with rubbish.
I knew this place, and I came to this place because here I did my training for my competitions. Unfortunately, over time, I began to notice that some canals were full of rubbish. Xochimilco is very important to me. Xochimilco is considered a World Heritage Site. It does not belong to Mexicans. It is the heritage of all human beings.
Menchaca believes that if people ignore their environment, soon there will be a time when they have nothing to enjoy. He hopes that his efforts to protect wetlands make a small difference and preserve the place for future generations. The Xochimilco site is home to endemic species, including the critically endangered ones, and is usually visited by thousands of people on weekends. The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Salman Khojouri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Here's more.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The four-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys two important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Alamzani, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of craving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormuz, Hengam, and Qeshm are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council, as China, with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones, come next. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and you do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
Even though we still keep the social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new Lunar Year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each Lunar Year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
Many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than two decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret. Surprise in a Chinese zoo ahead of the Lunar New Year. 15 rare golden tigers make debut in front of excited fans. A large group of visitors gathered in China's Yellow River Delta Zoo to watch the rare animals. This zoo is the largest breeding base for golden species of tigers across China. The animals are being strictly protected amid fears surrounding their extinction. The golden tigers are a variant of Bengali tigers with rare color variations, including black strips. They are no longer extant in the wild.
The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in space, which is approximately 1 million miles away from Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore the cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope. Streets in the Taiwanese capital are decorated vividly to welcome the Year of the Tiger beginning on February the 5th. Residents are using tiger sculptures and totems to adorn the streets of Taipei. Shops are booming as people head out to buy special couplets ahead of the new year, also called the Spring Festival. Many are hoping they can completely defeat COVID-19 this year, as celebrations were scaled down due to the pandemic last year. The Chinese New Year is celebrated by almost 2 billion people across the world, though mainly in Asia. There are 12 animals representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, a symbol of strength and power.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, and especially this program, today's special. Salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, and welcome to this episode under the topic of sleeping. Of course, we'll look at sleeping in the view of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I
Open the calendar. Today, Tuesday, is the 6th of the month of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Quran. This is chapter Al-Imran, verse 154. Let's listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ثم أنزل عليكم من بعد الغم أمنة نعاسا يغشى طائفة منكم وطائفة قد أهمتهم أنفسهم يظنون بالله غير الحق ظن الجاهلية يقولون هل لنا من الأمر من شيء قل إن الأمر كله لله يخفون في أنفسهم ما لا يبدون لك يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا قل لو كنتم في بيوتكم لبرز الذين كتب عليهم القتل إلى مضاجعهم وليبتلي الله ما في صدوركم وليمحص ما في قلوبكم والله عليم بذات الصدور.
Then after distress, he sent down upon you security in the form of drowsiness, overcoming a faction of you, while another faction worried about themselves, thinking of Allah other than the truth, the thought of ignorance, saying, is there anything for us to have done in this matter? Say, indeed, the matter belongs completely to Allah. They conceal within themselves what they will not reveal to you. They say, if there was anything we could have done in the matter, some of us would not have been killed right here. Say, even if you had been inside your houses, those decreed to be killed would have come out to their deathbeds. It was so that Allah might test what is in your breasts and purify what is in your hearts. And Allah is knowing of that within the breasts.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The night following the Battle of Uhud was a dreadful night, full of anxiety and fear. The Muslims anticipated that the victorious soldiers of Quraysh would return to Medina again. So the verse denotes that after heavy griefs and sorrows of the day of Uhud, Allah sent down peace and security on them. It says, then after that grief, He sent down security upon you. This peace was the very light sleep that fell on a group of them. But there were some others who thought of their own selves and carried nothing except their own rescue. That was why they lost the security given to them totally.
يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان بالنور والإيمان
we are trying to look at the topic sleeping in the view of Islam. Sleep is one of the signs and blessings of Allah, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah gave us sleep as a time of rest and recovery. Sleep makes us humble and reminds us that we are not invincible. Even if we are the most powerful person in the world, we still have to sleep and be vulnerable when we sleep. Sleep is a time when we can keep away from sins, and we can be thankful to Allah to have that time. It is a reminder of death and the resurrection for those who pay attention to it and ponder it. Sleep has been praised by Imam Reza, Shia's 8th Imam, peace be upon him. He says, "Sleep is the sultan of the brain, the foundation of the body, and its strength." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astaghfirullah. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the importance of sleeping. It's said, it's indicated that when someone sleeps, lying on his or her left hand, left side, he becomes more relaxed, and because of this, he or she may sleep longer. But lying on one's right side causes the person to have shorter sleep. At the same time, it must be indicated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lie on a mat. However, when some of his companions advised him to lie on something soft, he indicated that he was content with just a mat, and because of this, it means that it indicates that sometimes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred something quite simple over a very luxury place for sleeping. According to one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, the place where he used to sleep was a piece of skin filled with some dried leaves of the date palm. According to the geographical and natural situation of ancient Arabia.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
The etiquette of sleeping. Know how to deal with sleeplessness. Sometimes falling asleep can be almost impossible. If you have difficulty falling asleep, doing dhikr and making dua may help you feel sleepy. One of the companions of the Prophet of Islam, Zayd ibn Thabit, said, "I complained to the Messenger of Allah about insomnia that I was suffering from." He said, "Say, O Allah, the stars have come out and eyes have closed. And you are the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes you. O ever-living, O sustainer, bring calm to my night and let my eyes sleep. O Allah, take away from me what I am suffering." It's normal to have a night or two of sleeplessness sometimes, but if you have trouble falling asleep almost every day and it's affecting your daily routine, it might be time to take a trip to your doctor and discuss this problem. They may offer medication or other remedies to help you fall asleep easily. Make sure you avoid activities and environments that keep you awake. While it is tempting, technology screens are known to keep you up. The sleeping environment should also be dark and quiet, so your brain knows it is time to sleep and not stay awake.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Hygiene of sleep. All living things require rest after activity because activity entails wear and tear of living tissues. And rest means their repair. During sleep, worn out cells are replaced and waste products are eliminated. Not only human beings and animals require sleep, but plants also stand in need of it. It is exemplified in the case of sunflower, which opens its petals at sunrise and closes at dusk. As regards the amount of sleep, no hard and fast rules can be laid down because it depends upon the age, upon occupation, upon temperament of the individual. As a rule, infants and children require more sleep than adults. The age require more rest than actual sleep. That means they should spend more of their time in a reclining position. Brain workers require more sleep than those doing physical labor. Weak and sick people require more sleep than the healthy ones. Healthy adults doing brain work should sleep for 7 hours as a rule.
Allah yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. Allah takes away the souls, lets the soul depart the body at death, and that is the actual death, and there is a minor death at the time of sleep. في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. At the time of when the soul departs the body, Allah will see. Is it time for death? Is it time of ajal for that spirit, for that soul? If it is, he will take that soul and he will not allow it to come back to the body. But if the time of ajal has not come, then he will allow the soul to come back to the body. One interpretation of dreams is that at the time of sleep, our souls depart our bodies and they wander around to places, from one place to another place. And they meet other souls. So the dreams that we see, it is actually our soul meeting our other souls, whether they are alive or they're dead. When you see yourself, for example, in Mecca, it is because your soul went to Mecca at the time of sleep. This is one interpretation of why we see dreams.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. I mean, sleeping in the view of Islam. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode. Fi amanallah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.